Ring the Litter Warden. They deal with dog fouling and can issue fines. Do they be about? Are they on call and at the weekend, I wonder? In Portrush Beach, no dogs and it's enforced and it's great. Also, toilets spotless. I've seen zero enforcement or, in fact, very little recognition of the control of dogs in public on beaches and certainly plenty of dogs on the blue flag beaches I'd be on in the summer, last summer anyway. So let's see what happens after June 1st. There's an issue in Dunfanaghy of people parking on double yellow lines. Laws are not laws unless we actually reprimand them. People need to be fined for parking and dog fouling. All right, okay. Morning, Greg. This wannabe pop group Kneecap not only are anti-Semitic, but receive 14,000 arts fund from the UK government that Conservative leader Cammy Bandanach tried to block last year. They had their working visas revoked from the US and show celebrities like Sharon Osbourne are condemning them. Well, Sharon Osbourne would be pro-Israel, so that doesn't surprise me. Has this cult never heard of Sir David Amos or Joe Cox on what happened to them? That comes in from Sean in Edinburgh. Thanks, Sean. I mean, they are reasonably successful. I don't think they want to be a pop group. I take your point. They took a stand or a stance as it relates to what's happening in the Middle East. People will agree and disagree with that. I think they have a serious problem in calling for MPs to be killed, and you've quite rightly pointed out David Amos and Joe Cox, who were killed. Hi, Greg. I read in the Sunday Independent 2 weeks ago that the new air sea rescue helicopter managed by Bristow will not be able to carry patients on stretchers. We are an island nation, and many people that may fall out on walks, that live offshore, etc., need to be transported on a stretcher. How can this have been missed in the procurement process? I'll have to dig into that. I know there have been problems in terms of training and what have you, so I'm not sure if that report suggests they can't carry stretchers because of training, or is it because of the size of the helicopter? I'll dig into that a little bit more and see what we can find out. Hi, Highland. I'm a local woman living in Letterkenny. I'm very worried about the type of people this anti-immigration march on Saturday is going to bring to the town. I've seen very aggressive racist commentary online. I haven't forgotten how similar people looted and raged across Dublin last year. What if they do that in Letterkenny? I don't anticipate that, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously it's a bank holiday weekend. I don't know what the views of the business community is in relation to both protests taking place, whether you're anti-immigration or pro-immigration or whatever the stance they're taking. I don't think you have to worry about any violence or aggression personally from those in attendance. I don't know. I'm not vouching for them, but I just don't anticipate it happening. I and many other women and children will not feel safe in our own town this weekend. I also feel very sorry for any people of colour living in Letterkenny this weekend and how fearful they must feel. But I don't know, really. You know, sometimes I presume to know what the attitude is of people from other countries that are settled here, or, you know, second, third generation children of those that are settled here. Maybe they don't feel targeted by these protests. You know, I actually sometimes presume that they might feel uncomfortable with them. I can't really speak to that. So, I mean, if there's any representative organisations of those individuals, or indeed if you're listening yourself, get in touch with us, 086 60 25,000. I shouldn't presume. Not that I have, but I mean in terms of any commentary. If the Ukrainians are getting 16 million a year, how can they not pay their car tax or NCT? We all have to pay it and we're working. The 16, I think it's 14 million, is it? 14 million euros been paid so far, paying state pensions to Ukrainians living here. That's the story. And also there is another story, and I'm not sure what the crossover is that if they apply and they have temporary protection, Ukrainian people can drive their cars here on Ukrainian plates without car tax or without an NCT. So, as I say, I'm not sure of the crossover between those two issues. Hi, Greg. This is a picture of Millbridge in Buncrana. I'll throw it up here to have a look. This is a picture of Millbridge and Buncrana that the council have one lane closed. The Garda have been here on many occasions this last month with cars meeting in the middle of it. This is a serious collision waiting to happen. The bridge has been probably hundreds of years to car, no problem passing on it, but the council have decided to make it a death trap now, right? So I'm looking at the image of it. I presume they're looking, and correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, it looks like they're trying to accommodate pedestrians. I'm sure we've spoken to people in the past who have to use that bridge to access the town, and with buggies and cars, There were two cars. I'm sure it's the same bridge. They were they're under severe threat there. There's a similar bridge laid out like that in Calais. I think if it's well signposted and people know the crack, is it okay? I don't know. You live there. But it looks like they're accommodating a footpath there, and I can see the logic in it. But anyway, I'm only looking at a picture that you sent in, and people watching the show have done so as well. Hi, Greg. Just a wee message of thanks to the staff of Jackson's Hotel in Balmerfay. We stayed there last Thursday night, and it was amazing. When booking, we mentioned that our child Ben has autism, and they made us aware that they would leave sensory toys in our room. This made our stay so much more fun. Ben was able to regulate himself and enjoy his stay. The staff were simply amazing and so kind. Here's hoping it's a new venture and all hotels in Donegal and further afield do the same. Many thanks, Ben's mammy, Katrina. Well, Katrina, I hope you had a great time. And Jackson's always looking to the future. We've got fantastic hotels here. You know, I think sometimes it's just to be heard and understood. That was your experience and your stay was great. And we were talking about this more generally speaking about the hotel sector only last week or the week before. And there's lots and lots of families who would hear stories like that and say, right, okay, we should go there. You know, so it's good business for hotels too, but I'm sure Jackson's are doing it because they understand and want to make the guests' life as enjoyable as possible. James Johnson, happy birthday from your wife and family in Knocknamona Park. Amy Johnson, also happy birthday from Granny and Grandad. Two birthdays, I presume, in the Johnson's family. James and Amy, have wonderful days. Lots of love from all of your family and all of us here at Highland Radio. You welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Just a reminder, 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. And don't forget, you can watch the show on YouTube at home if you wish, or on Facebook, Highland Radio Ireland, Highland Hope, sorry, or Highland Radio News, Sport and Obituary Notices. Okay, let's go to our next guest on the show now, and it is Rosina Toner, who is a cancer campaigner. Rosina, thank you so much for joining us this morning. How are you keeping?
I'm very well, and thank you so much for having me again.
Right,
I appreciate it so much.
It's our pleasure. It's important. So, you know, we spoke to you last week about your meeting with management and, you know, where the fault or blame might lie or what needs to be done. And, of course, it was in advance of another protest to be held outside Letterkenny Universal Hospital. I believe it to be the third. Reflecting on it, reflecting on the mood, the turnout, how do you feel this morning?
I feel that I am very grateful to those that did take the time from their day to show up, but it was not even nearly enough people. Like, we have a population of 160,000, and I would say if I had 500 or 600 throughout the day, it was probably the height of it. Much more than the last two protests. Yeah. And as I say, I'm grateful to those people for taking the time. Again, there was a lot of unashamed people that turned up. That we did have, like, I was chatting to Letterkenny people, Balmerfay people, a couple from Ranafast, there was a couple from Gador, but a couple, like, in the size of Donegal, this is not just about Letterkenny, and I just need to be really clear to people what this is about. This is about us extending and getting new facilities, cancer care facilities, in Letterkenny University Hospital, because the services there are small and unfit for purpose. And in turn of that, it will stop less people having to travel to Galway, because a lot of people aren't aware that that is what the West is pushing for. That is what the TDs, the Department of Health, the HSE, that is what they're pushing for. So in Donegal, like, I now have the TDs on side up here, and I'm confident I have them on side because they're Donegal people as well. I just need the regular Joe Soap to get on side too, and to push and to realise that if we don't get better facilities in Letterkenny, we are going to have to go to Galway, and we are going to have to fight for those facilities. And I spoke to a man on Saturday who used to be I'm not sure if he was a manager, but he had something to do with the hospital in the 80s. And he said even then, everything they got, they had to fight for. Nothing has changed. So it is up to the people to fight and then not to be given out when things aren't there. Because if we don't fight for them now, they're not going to be there. And it is as simple as that, as mad as it sounds.
I said a little earlier on the show that, and this is no criticism because, you know, as I say, my family circumstances mean I couldn't attend, right? But everyone's got an excuse, don't they? You could also argue. But, you know, with all the media coverage that has been out there and the social media work, you know, the people in Galway would have known what's going on. And then they probably, you know, checked out how many people turned up at the weekend. And they might say to themselves, I'm not saying they're cynical, but they might say to themselves, well, the problem obviously isn't that bad because, you know, if it was that bad, there'd be 5,000 people protesting, but there wasn't, you know, 500 or 600 over the course of the day. But at any one time, it looked sparse enough. So they might say, well, obviously, Rosina's a noisy git, isn't she? But the people of Donegal seem happy enough with the services.
Yeah, and I agree totally. We're not making it, and it's not a big enough crowd to make a difference. Do you know what? Thankfully, this is not just me. Like, I was feeling very positive on Saturday because there was people there from like 9 o'clock. There was people there. Mm-hmm. It was other people along the line when I was chatting to during the day would have said to me, "Rosina, there's not nearly enough people here." And I was like, "I know that, but I have to be grateful for who is here."
Yeah.
Like, It's just really frustrating. It's really frustrating that there's, and this is not just me, like there's the likes of Betty Holmes and Noel Duddy and other campaigners who've been campaigning for years, like Noel Duddy, like she was at the meeting last Wednesday in the hospital. Almost 20 years she has been campaigning and other people saying that the facilities aren't good enough. Yeah. And nobody's getting behind them. And it's just getting worse because the population's getting bigger, people are living longer, and the facilities haven't changed because they're happy for us to go to Galway.
Yeah, but it's a funny thing, health, right? Because, you know, if you've been sick, whatever it might be, whether a stroke or cancer or what have you, and you get better, you know, you're thankful, you're pleased, you know, you're very, very thankful. And maybe less motivated to get out there. Maybe you have cancer or some other serious illness and you think, I'm actually not well enough to do this. I don't have the strength to do it. And then there's a funny thing with health is that if you don't have to go to Letterkenny University Hospital or to your GP very often or whatever it might be, or you don't have someone close to you undergoing cancer treatment, it's not, you don't feel motivated. So that's why I think in this county, health protests are so poorly attended for those reasons I've outlined. And there are probably more because people are busy as well. And we know that, right? But, you know, I think that's part of the problem when you try and protest health. It's just getting the right people motivated at the right time.
Do you know who was there in this? I mentioned this to my partner even this morning. We were just chatting about this. There was several different families that I spoke to who had already lost someone very dear to them with cancer. Like, there's a man who and his daughter turns up and they lost their wife. And they are still so raw about that they can't even really talk about that. Then there was Boyd Robinson. Him and his family turned up. They were almost traumatised about what happened to their father. There was another family who had lost their sister 16 years ago. Like, these people who had lost people and didn't think the services were fit to look after their families are now out protesting to make sure nobody else's family goes through this. And I think them people are amazing to have lost someone and to still come out and try and make the services better for someone else. Those are the people. There's another family too who the whole family turned up. They lost their mommy just, I'd say, 5 or 6 months ago. Like, the mommy, like her, so that's the family, her siblings, all turned up. And that to me is just really, really, I was just blown away by the people who came, who had lost somebody and who all were there because they thought that the facilities weren't good enough and didn't care. Like, there weren't enough there to care for their family member, even if the outcome would have still been the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, so there's people who really didn't have to come because they've already lost someone.
Yeah.
But they still did.
I get you. It's a tough one. What next? I mean, obviously, as you say, you have the politicians on board. I think the collective Donegal jersey has been being pulled on now. What do you do next?
What do I do next? Well, next, I think I'm going to have to just reach above Sean Murphy and go to the CELTA. They have changed their name, West, Northwest, something, something. And start emailing there and see if somebody will meet with me, because I want them to explain to me why they don't think Letterkenny deserves the that it needs, because that's what it needs. And I want them to sit with me and with the TDs and...
I think there's some suggestion there might be a visit to this area by the Minister for Health at some point. Is that, have you heard that?
Yes, I have heard that. Her visit is going to be very brief.
Okay.
But the feelers are out there. If we can just kind of get it down to a rough time, I will be making my presence known.
Mm. All right. Listen, Rosina... listen, you're getting the message out there strongly, and I mean, obviously, you know, people on the street makes a big difference, but it doesn't mean what you've been doing is not having its impact either. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Rosina Toner there. A caller says, it's shocking that earlier this month there was a bigger group at the Palestinian protest in Letterkenny. It says a lot about our priorities. We won't protest about something we can change and do something about. We don't protest about something we can change and do about something we can't. Another, perhaps every little town in Donegal needs to organise their own protests. Well, I think really it's protesting health. I mean, one of the most attended protests I saw was Professor Mulpeter's protest when he was looking for a stroke unit, which he was successful in campaigning for. Louise is with me now. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Greg. Good morning.
Right. You text in about illegal immigration and protests. And what's your observation, your comment?
Yes, Greg. So I, just to put it out there, I am a mother of mixed race children. Mm. So, you know, I have kids that I would consider to be Irish, well, mixed Irish. And if they grow up and they want to identify as Irish, I would feel that would be totally fine. And so to be honest, I'm going to this protest on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I'm going because, like many other Irish people, I do feel that, you know, it's not so much illegal immigration, it's mass immigration, immigration's getting out of control. For me, that's kind of where I am. And I welcome immigration on a whole, mm-hmm. but it's just not to the extent that it is, you know, today. Migration and immigration brings huge benefits to a country. And Irish people are very friendly, welcoming, warm people. I personally can say I've been in the circle of Africans, Asians, all sorts of people all my life, and I have my children who are half black, half African. And I can honestly say I've never, on a general, never felt any racism, and nor have my African relatives. On a whole, Irish people are brilliant.
You are attending the anti-immigration protest at the weekend, you say, even though you are the mother of mixed race children. Are you sure that everyone's motives are the same? Are you sure that some people maybe don't want your children to, in inverted mm-hmm. commas, go home?
Yes, well, this is the thing, Greg. So I think we need to stand up. We need to stop making this personal towards the people that are here, right? That's one thing. This, we do have to protest but we need to direct it at the government. Mm. And so far, you know, the leaders that seem to be speaking on these protests are not being racist from what I can see. But the people that are attending, chanting these go home, all of that, that's racist. And I really, really appeal to the people that are at the protest in Letterkenny. Don't belittle yourself to be racist. We're not a racist nation. Mm-hmm. We are angry, and we need to direct our anger against the government, not the people that are here.
It's a tough one because I think the majority are of your view, but there are also those that might be a bit more extreme in their mm-hmm. views who sort of mix in, and then the impression is given the impression is given that that's the view of the entire crowd. So I didn't see many videos coming out of Dublin, and I take everything with a pinch of salt and do my own research and dig around a little bit. One of the videos I did see shared the most was a black guy in a bike. I'm not sure if you've seen that.
I was very disgusted by that.
He was being told to go home.
I think that's terrible. I mean, like, the guy has an Irish accent. But that's
Can I just add on, by the way? Sorry, I just want to say, I'm not saying that was reflective of those that attended that, but that's what comes out of it. But then again, people might say it's the far left that's probably amplifying those videos to undermine the genuine people attending the protest. Maybe that's just the way it is, Louise. It's going to, you know, and we have to deal with that and make up our own minds.
Well, yeah, I would just say, like, people do want to protest, and like, if there's any sort of form of racism or any comments, I'm leaving the protest, and you know, a lot of my friends will leave too. And we really don't want that. We want to have numbers standing behind us so the government will listen. But when we start breaking it into racist kind of things, it just divides us, and it doesn't give us strength in numbers. It's not going to help the cause.
So what is it that you're protesting against? I know you said, but what are your concerns what are your concerns that's motivating you to go into Letterkenny at the weekend?
Well, my concerns is, I'm concerned that we're sort of, I have a few friends that have been on the housing list, single parents, and have been on the housing list for years. Mm-hmm. They can't get a house. They're paying extortionate rent. They can, you know, it's difficult financially. The housing crisis is bonkers, but we seem to have a lot of room for a lot of people coming in. I feel like we need to control immigration to a point where we have to say, look, we have here's a number of people we can take in without, you know, without making the Irish people suffer.
But many would feel we've already exceeded that number. So would you be in favour of a pause on immigration until such time as the situation here is resolved?
Yes, I would, definitely. I would. And then, you know, not to say we can't open it again in the future, but we have to be mindful that we need to make sure that the Irish people have homes and have what they need. And all the excess should most definitely be given to those that need it.
And in terms of the majority of people that have come to this country, you're probably aware of coming on working visas, you know, people from India and other countries, that's the greater proportion of people that have come into this country that are non-white, if I could put it like that, right? You're still in favour of that? Or do you believe that should also be suspended because all of those people need homes? You know, they're coming in to work in tech companies and hospitals and for home care. Do you believe that that should be suspended as well until we get all the houses sorted? Or is it just people that are fleeing a war or something?
Well, I think it would need to be looked at in detail, but I don't think we should. There is benefit in bringing the people in that are working, right? Because we have gaps in industries. So it would need to be looked at. You know, those people that are...
But if it's about housing, those people are still competing for the same houses you might be.
Yes, that's true. But it needs to be looked at on a whole, right? How much resources do we have? We have an awful lot of houses that are empty. You know, we need to... It's a bigger picture. But I think what we need to do is we need to start looking at capping immigration or looking at controlling numbers and not just letting it be, you know, free, anybody can come, you know. It has to be controlled better, I would say. And another thing is about, I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, fear walking down the street. My fear is that, you know, apparently there's people coming off the airplane with no passport, no documentation, and they're being allowed in. I feel like we need to vet the people that we bring into our country. And if there's no documentation and we can't vet them, I don't feel we should be letting those people in. That's why I'm going as well.
Would you bring your... this sounds like it's a personal question. I don't mean it like that, but I just want to get your sense. Will you bring your mixed-race kids to the protest? Like, if they were of age?
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Because, well, yeah, they're too young.
But let's say they were, like, 17 and 18.
Well...
12 and 13.
I probably wouldn't, only because I'm a little bit afraid that people are going to start chanting those go home racist comments.
I mean,
that's my fear.
That's like, so, because I think these conversations you've had in the public, Louise, I'm not trying to, but you're going to protest at the weekend But you wouldn't bring your mixed race kids because you'd be afraid they might get racial abuse. Do you have some people listening, Greg, might see that there's a bit ironic? I don't know. I know the majority of people wouldn't.
Let me explain to you.
Yeah, please.
Let me explain to you. So I actually contacted the organisers of the event and I asked them, I want to be sure this is, you know, that the leader speaking here, this is not racist or white supremacy or, you know, anything to do with people's religion or any negative hatred. And they assured me it wasn't. Mm. So I feel like the actual protest itself and the people speaking, you know, they're not going to, I feel like what they're going to say, at least they've led me to believe, is of similar opinion of what, you know, I'm speaking about now. But I have seen those protests in Dublin and I have seen how the people reacted. And
but we don't know how amplified a very small minority are, right? So, you know, the guards didn't have any issues with that protest in Dublin. One final question. Do you have any problem with, because it might come up at the weekend, you know, mosques being built or different sort of religions being sort of exercised and practiced, because there are some too that they would have a concern about. You talked about, you know, I think I'm trying to read your script, the text you sent in here, because I don't want to misquote you, but you talked about Irishness, right? So have you any concerns about the increase in the Muslim population, for an example? Do you believe, and how do you stymie that if you do? Or is it about illegal immigration?
When I spoke about Irishness, I was more referring to the type of people that we're known to be,
right?
You know, that friendly, welcome and warm people. In terms of the mosques, no, I mean, if we were to go somewhere else, we'd like to see a church. Well, I'm Christian, I'd like to see a church. I've been to Africa, I've been to churches there. The people need to worship, so if they need a mosque to worship, then they're here and they're contributing to society, and why not let them worship where they need to worship? I have no issue with that, no.
And can we contact you next Tuesday to see how you feel it went? Would you mind?
Yes. And can I just say, please, I'm going to leave if I hear any of those chants. I'm not going to be participating in it. I'm going for the reason where I want, you know, I want my number to be counted against what we're trying to speak up to the government. And I just really say, people, if we can just not be hatred, you know, show hatred and just try to keep it civil.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, okay.
But yes.
Louise, thanks.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I think it's a critical moment. I think next weekend is going to be a critical moment in the conversation. Yeah. Thanks, Louise. Take care of yourself. David, sorry for holding you. I just wanted to sort of get Louise's views in their entirety. Your headline in your text, definitely two different laws. What are you talking about, David?
Well, there's definitely two different laws, because, like, they can come here, get rent free. Some of them are working and they still get their rent paid for. And then they can bring their own car from Ukraine. I'm saying Ukraine because that's the cars you see. And they come with an original old banger of a car. They're here 6 months to 8 months. Then they go home and they change their car. They bring a newer car here. They go from an old car to a BMW or a newer Honda Accord or whatever. They're delivery drivers. They drive for delivery, so everybody sees the cars delivering their pizzas and everything around their houses. Like, and yet, no, they don't have to tax them. They don't have to test them. But if I went into Derry and bought a car today, I know for a fact, because I've done it before, I bought a car and within 3 weeks I was stopped and told I needed you to pay that car.
Yeah, and these, like, cars that you're seeing about are cars on Ukrainian plates, yeah?
Yeah, definitely Ukrainian plates. Like, they're driving around in X5 Jeeps and BMW. I even seen a Ukrainian Audi R8. That's a 175 grand car that they're driving around one crana.
Not delivering pizzas, though, I presume.
No, not delivering pizzas, obviously, like, but that they're still riding around in a 175 grand car, like, and they're living in a house that's paid for by us. And then if their car breaks down, they get it fixed.
And is your... And
what Louise was saying there...
Yeah, go ahead, yep.
What Louise was saying there about people coming in, I have no problem. My wife's not from this country. I have no problem with anybody coming to this country to work that makes a life for themselves and contributes to the country. And you're on about these people with temporary visas and things that they'll be competing with your houses. That doesn't matter. They're going to pay their rent for their house.
Mm-hmm.
They're not coming here and getting a free house. So I have no problem with them coming out.
So you're saying that's a level playing field financially. It's irrelevant then where someone's come from.
Yeah, but the rent is so dear in Ireland now because all these people have come in. There isn't the houses. That's the problem. Like,
And I mean, there is another issue as well, and this is not being anti-Ukraine. People understand that, but obviously Ukrainians still get $600 a month rent, and a lot of them are topping that up as well, and they are being moved out of hotels and into the general rental market. And we have heard from a county councillor, in fact, a Sinn Féin county councillor, saying that that is skewing the market, that they have an unfair advantage in acquiring houses because the 600 is tax-free for the landlord, of course. And then if they're working or have other benefits, they can contribute more on top of that. So they're a more attractive tenant. So that's also a factor in the support, it has to be said.
I personally think if they're working in this country, they shouldn't be entitled to any money off their rent.
Mm.
Like, this is the thing. They're working and, like, they're walking around in the best of clothes, the best of gear, and like I said in my text, myself and my wife both work full-time jobs. We can't get a mortgage. We are saving, but it's just a terrible. Like, it's just, what do you do? Like,
okay.
There's all you do is keep working, and you pay childcare, and you pay everything else, and you're just working to pay your bills.
All right, listen, thanks.
There's no living. You see these people sitting around doing nothing all day.
Yeah.
Getting their house paid for, their food paid for, their doctor paid for, their car paid for.
And beyond a joke now. Your anger, I don't want to use the word anger right, but your dissatisfaction with that, is it the government, or do you feel they're...
Oh, it's the government. It's completely the government. Any political, all political establishments, They're just like, we don't even have opposite bench anymore, like, because they're too soft. Like, there's nothing. Used to be a point where the opposite bench would get up and stand up and throw papers and row and make a scene and fight for people's rights. But now it's just all backroom talks, like, and everything's. They're all singing off the same hymn sheet. Like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's,
like, enough at this point. Enough was enough. I'm not angry. I'm just
sick of it.
I'm just
I tried
sick
not
of it
to
now,
use the word angry because you're not. You've come across as, no, but as reasoned, but I couldn't find another word.
I do get
word.
Angry. Well, the day I seen that Ukrainian RA8, I was angry because that that's $175,000 car, and somebody's supposed to be fleeing a war and all.
But I mean, they're not economic refugees. But I do take your point. I mean, you can be a billionaire and you can be fleeing rockets, but that's not the point.
Ukraine is 10 times the size of Ireland.
Yeah.
Ukraine is 10 times the size of Ireland. We don't need to be taking them in. They can move in their own country.
David, thank you for that. Another caller says, meanwhile, the immigrants are currently outnumbering Irish births 2-1. We will live in a different Ireland in a decade or so. I must have a look at the figures. Last time I checked, it wasn't quite that. Greg, don't try and be facetious to that honest woman. We know you're an open border woke advocate. I swear, you know, like, don't want to be triggered about this, but you know what? It's possibly why other radio stations or other radio presenters don't talk about this, because even by talking about it, there are people, and I note that protest down in Letterkenny too is against the media as well, right? So we're covering it, we're talking about it, we're platforming people while they're actually calling people out to protest against the media. That's fine, I don't mind that. But even by talking about it, and we had the same when we talked about this issue a couple of weeks ago, there are those in the movement that simply, they don't want you to, and I don't know why, but they don't want you to talk about it because they try and make you not talk about it almost, which is really quite bizarre. So the more balanced you try and be, the more criticism you get from those who are sometimes organising these types of things. So that protest on Saturday, Louise is effectively going to be protesting about the media as well. And yet here we are, a stone's throw from where the process will take place, talking about it. So I don't think people want it to be talked about either at the same time. It is fundamentally dishonest to label the protest as being anti-immigration. They're protesting against open borders and population replacement. Every major Dutch city is now majority foreigners, and it's happening all over Europe. Legal controlled immigration benefits the home and the host nation. Open borders does not. So that's why I wanted to tease out, and when I referenced being facetious with Louise about the cultural side of things, because this text really is not just about illegal immigration. This is about the replacement theory, right? And the replacement theory is presumably whether you come here legally or illegally. So there's going to be different views. There is different views, but there's going to be different views. Morning, Greg. Fully support your caller Louise on attending anti-immigrant protests in Letterkenny. Too many migrants coming in. We need our borders closed. That girl's 100% right, and most right-thinking Irish people think that way, but our government is not listening. Hi, Greg. It appears to be that Louise's issue is government housing policy as opposed to immigration. Well, people all have their own reasons. Right, we'll be back with more on the programme after a break. Retired Judge Sean McBride is with me on the programme now. Sean, thank you very much for your time this morning.
You're very welcome, Greg, and welcome to your listeners as well.
And you are quite literally at the airport, are you not, as you take off for a very special reason, a very personal reason, Sean?
Yes, Greg. I'm just at the gates of the departure gates here in Dublin Airport, and I'm flying out with Aer Lingus, leaving at 1 o'clock to go to Santiago de Compostela International Airport. And we're with Orbis Ways and Orbis Travel, a group from all over the world, on the pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela. And we go to Baio on the Portuguese-Spanish border tonight and stay overnight there. And then we walk a pilgrimage over 8 days of approximately 100 miles to Santiago de Compostela. And no. The reason I'm doing it is in memory of my beloved wife, Greta, my soulmate, who sadly passed away on the 5th of July last Friday morning in Letterkenny University Hospital, where she breathed her last and her spirit, please God, went straight to heaven as we witnessed the roses of St. Teresa of Lisieux and St. Padre Pio. Everybody in the room of the family and me witnessed that, and the priest said that's the sign of a soul going to heaven. So Greta had a lot of illnesses. I nursed her in the last few years. And in particular, I'm raising funds in her memory for, first of all, the intensive care acute stroke unit of Letterkenny University Hospital under the leadership and guidance of the lovely doctor, Jose Miranda, from a native of Madrid, who we're very fortunate to have as a consultant. He's a lovely man, dedicated staff of doctors, nurses, and the entire staff of Letterkenny Hospital. A big thank you today from Sean here. You were so kind to Greta, every one of you, and I do everything I can to support the hospital. So 50% of the GoFundMe that I've organised is going towards that worthy cause, and the other 50% is to Donegal Hospice, whose nurses gave us end-of-care life in the last week of Greta's life. She was too sick to transfer across the road, and she passed away. So I'm just privileged as a humble sinner and walking in the soles and the feet of St. Paul on the road to Damascus. And I'm going to be praying very hard, and I'll pray for all of you, you, Greg, and everybody in Donegal at the tomb of St. James the Apostle, James and son, and John, the sons of Zebedee. James's remains and bones are buried in the crypt of the cathedral, Catholic, Roman Catholic Cathedral, of Santiago de Compostela in Santiago de Compostela, and that will be at the end of the journey. It's a pilgrimage as well as walking. I have been doing a lot of training for it. I'm a GAA man and former athlete, and I've been training for the last 2.5 months, and I'm in great shape, thanks be to God.
Good stuff.
I'm looking forward to the trip.
Well done, Sean, and I get the feeling there's a million reasons why you're doing this, for your wife,
yes,
and your soulmate, for yourself, but also for all of the people. And it seems like so many people that were there for you and your family at your most difficult time. Sean, how do people
absolutely.
How do people donate if they want to support you and what you're doing?
First of all, you can just check up under GoFundMe.com and look up for organizer. And the organizer is Sean McBride, County Donegal. And you'll get into it, no bother.
All right, Sean, listen, safe travels. Enjoy the walk. And I hope you get everything from it that you're hoping.
Please God, and thank you, Greg, for allowing me the time on your program this morning to raise the matter, you know.
Okay.
There is a code as well, but you know, there's a code to get into it. But I think the easiest way.
Sean McBride, MAC Bride, I think is the easiest way. Yeah,
is the organizer. Just GoFundMe.com and just type in organizer Sean McBride, MACBRIDE, County Donegal. And it should flash up okay.
Look after yourself. Thank you very much indeed, Sean. Sean McBride there. A caller says, Ukrainian car owners have their cars insured in Ukraine. What happens if they have a collision here? Well, there's an agreement in place and that has been established. So their insurance over there covers them over here. For the record, undocumented migrants, those without legal immigration status, are not eligible to apply for social housing. Without a valid immigration status, they cannot access public services, including social housing. But there was bits of crossover here as well, because, I mean, obviously some people are also, it's not about where you're coming from. The competition with housing, or the issue with housing, is often... It can be Ukrainians, but there also is a sense, whether it can be backed up by figures or not, I don't know, that once people get their documents, that they, of course, then are, and some would say, sometimes get houses quicker than Irish people that have been waiting for a long time. So I'm not saying that's the case, but I'm saying that's what motivates people to protest. Re-immigration, Greg, don't forget that it was the government that invited mass immigration to Ireland. Remember when Roderick O'Gorman wrote in various languages offering free accommodation here? Everyone, it is no wonder we have a housing crisis. Morning, Greg. We have around 40,000 young men coming into Ireland. My question is, in that 40,000, there's not one woman or child. So have these men abandoned their women and children? Not one TD or councillor can or won't answer that question. The Muslim day of worship is on a Friday. Catholic Mass is most popular on a Sunday. Why can we not lend our churches or places of worship to other religions? We should share, says a listener. Greg, listening to the BBC yesterday after... Well, I'll come back to that because that's sport-related. I'll come back to that. Are the people in Letterkenny aware that there is presently planning applications for five iPass centres in Letterkenny? I haven't seen that. I'm not disputing it because I haven't seen it one way or other. To be fair to Greg and Highland, he allows it to be debated, and it is a concern as it's a forced integration upon the people of Letterkenny and the rest of Donegal. If there are people here illegally, then they should be told to leave, as said by Michael McDougall last year. But we've also seen figures as it relates to the very slow progress of those being asked to leave and them actually leaving. Greg, the talking is all done. The action starts now. What does that mean? I don't know. But presumably it's feet on the ground and what have you.